Today's sermon reflects upon fruitfulness. Our Creator wants us to be fruitful. But what means to be fruitful? How and why are two questions which often come to our mind. This sermon is for all, but especially for those of us who are in a barren state, are going through cycles of barrenness in life. It may sound a little surprising, but it is interesting that many of God's chosen vessels were barren from the start. One of such vessels is Rebecca, about whom we have read this morning, that through prayer she became fruitful. Now, let us pray for this sermon to be fruitful. Lord, bless now the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our heart. Weed out every unwanted thing that makes us ignorant or stubborn at this moment. May your Spirit make our heart fertile, and may it be filled with the knowledge of your living word, so that we glorify your holy name and enjoy it forever. Amen. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our own image." And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, we find that Jesus was with God when Adam and Eve were formed. After which God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful." But people over these years have indulged into wickedness. Jesus, upset from lostness of humans and concerned about them, in today's gospel reading, explains how and what it means to be fruitful, and says in verse 23, "As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. Jesus clearly explains that for us to be fruitful, we need to abide in him and his word. If we do not abide in him and his word, we cannot bear fruit. Therefore, in his word, we must prepare our hearts and minds. Unlike Esau, we should not be impulsive, but we need to be steady. We need to receive his word, take root in it, and more importantly, remain in it. Receive, take root, remain. It is noteworthy. In Genesis 1, chapter 25, verse 22, we see that till Rebecca was barren, there wasn't any struggle. But after she became fruitful, the struggle began. Same happens with us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "The devil walks about like a roaring lion to devour us." But in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 says, that our lion has conquered, has triumphed, is victorious. Before we move to today's New Testament reading, we need to keep in mind that the book of Romans is addressed to all, as we see in Romans chapter 1. In Paul's well-documented letter for the doctrinal presentation of Christian faith, Paul was well aware of the Jewish diaspora in Rome. The Jewish population in Rome, according to various proofs, dates back to the 2nd century BC. And he knew that there may be Gentiles who had faith in Christianity. Paul writes to all of us this day, that when we are in Christ, we are sanctified and have glorious completeness. is so powerful. There is therefore now no condemnation. There is nothing against us. Just imagine, you take a huge amount of money as loan, and after that you are told that you can keep it with you. There is no need to repay it. Won't you be glad? Paul knew about the Roman legal system, and that had tremendous influence on the various legal systems of the world. He introduced to them the law of spirit, which is different from the law that binds on the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 22, we come to know that God made his own Son to be sin to make us righteous. He gave us the law of spirit, so that when we trust in his Son, all our past sins are forgiven, and we are free from sin and death. In verse 3, we find that God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. We know that Jesus is 100% God, but at the same time he is 100% man. Jesus was beyond the precincts of sinful humanity. This does not mean that sin is a property of human. This does not mean that sin is a property of humanity. For Bible tells us that God made us in his own image. Sin is only the disordered state of our soul, which we have inherited as fallen family of Adam. Through Christ and in Christ, God fulfills his mission to atone for sin so that we be made holy. God has provided for us a way to escape the penalty for our sins. The laws, which were too strong, were incapable of freeing us from our past sins and required from us to be righteous. God has fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law by sending for us his own Son, Jesus Christ. We are to do only one thing now. Set our mind on the things of spirit. Set our mind on the things of spirit. To set our mind on his word and to live according to it, not according to the world. We should not seek worldly approval, but only approval in the sight of the Lord. Famous preacher Rami Chakraya says, "Death is not choice of God, it is the choice of man who wants to reject God. Death is not choice of God, it is the choice of man who wants to reject God." God wants to save us from our sins. He wants us to be with him in eternity, but of course we have free will to choose. It is upon us to choose morbidity or to choose light. In flesh, we may please the world, but we cannot please God. Paul in the following chapter says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world," and John in his epistle says, "Do not love this world, nor the things it offers to you." And Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul?" When we choose light, juxtaposed as Jesus, and live according to the Spirit, we receive free gift of life. And we receive peace through his grace, his faithfulness, his loving kindness. My dear friends, we must know we are bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus, and thus we are holy, and His Spirit dwells in us. The same Spirit has the power to give our mortal bodies everlasting life. Jesus says in John's Gospel, "This is my Father's glory. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Hence, by being fruitful, by abiding in Jesus and His Word, we are sanctified and free from death, and we receive the free gift of everlasting life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,